Blog Talk Radio.
The Love Radio Network's family is here for you, touching every community worldwide. And you can count on us to be right here with you every step of the way during this crisis. As we remain committed to you, to uplift you, and inspire you. Because our community is stronger together. Today, tomorrow, always. LoveRadioNetwork.com.
You're listening to the Love Radio Network worldwide. LoveRadioNetwork.com. Educational, inspirational, trending topics, and the hottest hits. With award-winning talk show host and personality. And you made us number one. Thank you. Love Radio Network. Building a network of love.
It's another live Monday. We are so delighted that you have tuned in to www.loveradionetwork.com. This is the final authority, the pastor and teacher Everett Robinson. Well, the final authority, we air live every Monday, 6 p.m. to 7 p.m. Pacific Standard Time, 8 p.m. to 9 p.m. Central Standard Time, and 9 p.m. to 10 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Okay, so we're going to go right into our subject matter. I'll do a prayer in just a moment, but we're going to cover the question. We're doing part one today, so we'll probably do three-part series. Do you really believe Jesus rose from the dead? Do you really believe that? Do you really believe that this person who is called Jesus literally rose from the dead? Well, let us pray. Father, we come before you in the holy, majestic name of your beloved Son, with whom you will please, Jesus the Christ, your unique Son. Father, we come, Father, having confessed him as our Lord, Savior, and Redeemer, for he has redeemed us to you by his blood. We accept it by faith, based upon the authority and revelation of the Holy Scriptures. We look to you as our God, Father, source, provider, and giver of life. We thank you, O God, for the goodness that you bestowed upon our lives, for blessing us, O God. We thank you, O God, that you bestowed an abundance of grace upon us, and that we are saved by your grace through faith in Christ alone. We thank you, O God, for the word. We ask, O God, your word would increase and abound and multiply in us, through us, to and for the glorification and the exaltation of the name of your beloved Son, Jesus the Christ. We thank you, Father God, that those who have tuned into the show, they would hear from you through the ministry of the word and by your spirit. We thank you, we praise you, and give you glory. In the name of thy Son, Jesus the Christ, we pray, so be it, and amen. Okay, so now, if you have a question or a comment that you would like to make, please feel free to call. The area code is 516-531-9623. The number to call for your question or comment, area code is 516-531-9623. Now, after you are connected, at any point in time, you press the number one on your phone, and my producer will then connect you to my live show, The Final Authority, and then I will acknowledge you, and you can ask your question or make your statement. Okay. Also, if you desire to give a donation toward our monthly invoice, feel free to please just go to www.loveradionetwork.com and scroll down and donate whatever you desire to donate. God bless you and thank you for your support. We also definitely solicit and ask for your prayers as we endeavor to stick to the authority of the Word of God and to glorify Christ and bring to you insight into the Word of God. All right, so do you believe, do you really believe, do you really authentically in your heart believe Jesus rose from the dead? Now, when we say Jesus, we look at the English transliteration of the name Jesus, which originally was Jesus in the English, and the letter J was added, made like a fancy I with a hook to it, and it was pronounced Jesus. The name simply means the Lord my salvation, or the Lord is salvation. It has its origin from the original Hebrew word would be Yeshua. The Greek word would be Jesus. Okay, but it's transliterated into the English as Jesus, which means God my salvation. Okay, so we're referring to the biblical Messiah. So we're asking the question, do you really believe Jesus rose from the dead? On what basis do you believe that he rose from the dead? Well, in order to believe he rose from the dead, you have to have believed that he had died, and for him to have to die, to have lived. And so we're not going to go into all the details and dealing with the historicity of the birth, dealing with even also going to the Old Testament about the prophecies of the actual birth of the Messiah, the anointed one whom God had sent from glory, who would be born of a virgin. The Bible tells you exactly where he would be born. It tells you how he would be born. He would be born of a virgin. It tells you what would be going on during the time of his birth. It tells you about his whole life, his life, his whole ministry life. And then it tells you about his sufferings. It tells you about his teachings. It tells you about the miracles, upon the miracles that he actually literally performed by the power of the Holy Spirit. It tells you actually about his suffering. It tells you even about his crucifixion. So we're going to deal with that. The death of Christ, the burial, and the resurrection. So we're dealing with this based upon the fact that this is a time all over the world where the person known as Jesus, to us English-speaking people, the biblical Jesus we're referring to, we're not referring to Zeus, we're not referring to Caesar Borgia, or any other paintings that we see of a so-called Jesus. You know, the picture we see of a blue-eyed, blonde hair, white Jesus, that the Bible doesn't even give no physical, actual, literal physical description of what he looked like, but we know that that's not a picture of Jesus any more than we find a Chinese-looking Jesus or whatever. We just know that he existed and that he actually literally walked the earth and that he was a Jewish man. All right? So anyway, we don't get caught into that. We deal with the fact is, when I say we don't get caught into that, I don't get caught into arguments or debates about the actual color of his skin. I never saw his skin. I don't know exactly the exact, if he was a darker brown or a lighter brown or whatever. He has some pigmentation to it. We do know that based upon the scientific scholars who have done the research. All right, but that's not even the main point. The point is we do know that no matter what pigmentation he is, that he came down from heaven and that he is the divine, unique son of the living God. He came down here, obeyed his father. This is what we look at. So the Bible tells you about not only the suffering of Christ, it tells you about the death of Christ. We're going to deal with passages to show you where Jesus of Nazareth, the Christ, the Messiah, the unique Son of God, even foretells his own death. But what's so unique about it, he tells you exactly where he's going to die, how he's going to die, and who is going to actually push him over to the Romans to ultimately be crucified. This is so heavy because he knew it. Now, here's the thing. The Jews didn't practice crucifixion. The Romans did. I believe it was initiated by the Persians, and the Romans popularized it and magnified it, and they just carried it out. But the Jews, they did not practice crucifixion. But Jesus even foretells that he was going to be crucified. Did you not know that everything that Jesus Christ went through, he knew everything he was going to go through, and yet he went through it. And it was a divine sovereign purpose why he went through everything that he went through, and he did for us. And I'll break that down in a moment. So anyway, but the question is, do you really believe Jesus rose from the dead? Do you really believe it? And on what basis do you believe it? Okay? So one is this. I look at the Holy Scriptures as a historical document to substantiate these witnesses who documented the life, the teachings, the sayings, the doings, the sufferings, the crucifixion, the death of Christ. They doctored, these are the contemporary witnesses. So we deal with the Old Testament prophecy, foretold these things. We deal with when Christ come, he fulfilled the Old Testament shadows and types, and he walked the earth in human form. And these called disciples literally documented their actual observations of Jesus, his life and ministry. And so we'll deal with the resurrection in just a moment, but we do know that he walked the earth because we see scripturally that he was born of a virgin by the power of the Holy Spirit. That's nothing to God. Power is so far beyond the comprehension of our human intellect. It's unlimited powers that's so great that he harnesses in his sovereign divine wisdom. Man, he's everywhere at one and the same time. He knows all things. There's not anything he does not know. He sees all things. There's nothing that is hid from his eyes. The night is like the light to him. The night is like day to him. He sees all things. And he's all wise. Every judgment he makes, it's just, it's right, and it's holy. And so, what we're going to deal with, do you believe in the fact that Jesus rose from the dead? Do you believe that he really rose from the dead? So some say, yeah, some folks, they deny the actual historicity of Jesus. Some say, well, I believe he was a good teacher. He was a prophet, but they don't accept the resurrection. Some say, well, the teacher is the prophet. We don't accept that he's the Son of God. And they're of him being Son of God. What does that mean? Well, it speaks that he has the same nature as his Father. All right? We're not communicating. It doesn't convey the idea of God engaged in a union with a woman to produce Jesus. No. Jesus was born of a virgin. Okay? And this is a work of the power of the Holy Spirit, that Christ, who pre-existed with his Father, came down from heaven by the power of the Spirit and tabernacled in the womb of a virgin to take upon human flesh. That's scripture. He took upon human flesh because he came here so that he could take our place and, as we see in scripture, die for our sins in our place. Our sins are against God. God, who is just, right, and holy, must judge and condemn sin because it mars his creation. And anything that destroys the product of God, God must destroy. So sin is coming to an end. It's going to come to a literal end. And so God had to destroy sin. Well, man who could not redeem himself and save himself from God's judgment because he was guilty of sin, he's a sinful criminal, an offender of the law of God. So God, as judge, as a righteous judge, must condemn man in his sin. So he can't save himself, but God wants to have a relationship, and God wants to reconcile man to himself, but sin must be judged, and sin must be done away with. So he sent his unique Son, who has the same nature as him, and sent his Son to come take upon human flesh so that he can lay all of our sins upon his Son and judge his Son for our sins, and the Son satisfy the demands of divine justice for you and I. All right, so we'll get to, not be able to get to that, but I'm going to deal with some passages real quickly. So one of the things I want to deal with is in St. John chapter 2. All right, so this is during the stages of the ministry of Christ. It is really amazing at how many times Jesus talked about that he was going to die and how he was going to die and where he was going to die at, all of that. So in St. John chapter 2, all right, so when you read this, I'm going to start reading at verse 18, so you can read the whole chapter on your own accord. The preceding verses let you know that Jesus was at a wedding in Cana of Galilee, and there he had turned water into wine and so on, so the people can have a wonderful celebration and enjoy that marriage union there. And so then the Jews' Passover was at hand. And so the people were in the temple, and these religious leaders, and they were money changers. And Jesus saw them ripping the people off in the temple of God in the Father's house. And so he made a whip, and he whipped them out of the temple. He turned over the money changers and drove them out. And so they said to Jesus, verse 18, then answered the Jews and said to him, what you doing? What sign are you showing us, seeing that you do these things? Now, they was just ripping the people off. But now they saying, what sign you showing us? Listen to what Jesus said. He didn't answer them according to what they thought he was going to answer. He gave them an answer, totally blew their mind. He answered and said to them, destroy this temple, and in 3 days I will raise it up. 46 years was this temple in building. And will you rear it, build it up, raise it up in 3 days? But he spake of the temple of his body. Now, Jesus went in there and just turned over the money changers. So he destroyed what they were planning on doing, what they were intending to do, or what they were practicing. And so now they knew that this temple that they were in was so big and so beautiful, and it took all those years to totally complete that beautiful temple. And so when Jesus said, destroy this temple, and in 3 days I will build it up, in their mind, they're thinking about the physical temple that was built. But Jesus was speaking of the temple of his body. What are you talking about? He is specifically foretelling of his own physical bodily resurrection from the dead. So it's at the outset. This is amazing. So we have that text of scripture. Now what I want to do is take you over to Matthew chapter 16. Okay? In Matthew chapter 16. Now if you don't have your Bible, please by all means write the scriptures down. There's a whole lot of scriptures, but we'll be able to only go over so much today. Matthew chapter 16, verse 13, I'm going to read on through. I'm going to start at verse 13. I'm going to read on down to around verse 21. When Jesus came into the coast of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, saying, whom do men say that I, the Son of Man, am? Who do people say that I am? What are different views about who I am? And they said, well, some say you are John the Baptist. Some say you are Elijah. Some say you are Jeremiah. You're one of the prophets. Jesus said unto them, but who do you say that I am? And Simon Peter answered and said, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. Jesus answered and said to him, blessed are you, Simon Bar-Jonah, for flesh and blood has not revealed this unto you, but my Father which is in heaven. And I say unto you, you are Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. And I will give unto you the keys of the kingdom of heaven. And whatsoever you shall bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, and whatsoever you loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. Then Jesus charged his disciples that they should tell no man that he was Jesus the Christ, that he's the Savior, the Christ, that he is the Lord, the salvation, the anointed one. From that time forth, Jesus began, now watch what it says, from that time forth, Jesus began to show unto his disciples how that he must go unto Jerusalem and suffer many things of the elders and chief priests and scribes and be killed and be raised again the third day. So here's Jesus now. Not only did he mention earlier, as we mentioned in St. John chapter 2, But now he's specifically here talking to his disciples. Peter right there, he's having a conversation with Peter, but the other apostles are right there, the disciples are right there with him. And so Jesus began to tell them, listen, I'm going to go to Jerusalem. I'm going to suffer many things of the elders, the chief priests, and bottom line, the religious leaders of the time. I'm going to be killed. He's going to result in death and be raised again the third day. Now, let's go to St. Matthew chapter 17 real quickly, okay? Chapter 17. So here, I'm not going to read all of it, but in chapter 17, the first few verses, first several verses, Peter, James, and John was taken by Christ to go up to this mountain. Christ was transfigured before them, and the Father God appeared in the form of a cloud and came out, voice came out the cloud saying, this is my beloved Son, whom I will please. Hear ye him. And so we look at that text there. And so as they're on the mountain there, they're coming down from the mountain. And so we get over here in verse 9. And as they came down from the mountain, they there refers to Jesus, Peter, James, and John. Jesus charged or ordered them, saying, tell the vision to no man until the Son of Man be risen again from the dead. Again, he again mentioned about he's going to be risen from the dead. Now, in order for him to be risen from the dead, he had to have died. Okay? So, he has to die in order to rise from the dead. Now, also, you can write this down. We won't read it, but it's the same passage as recorded in what is called the Synoptic Gospel by Mark. Mark records that in Mark chapter 8, verse 31. Okay? In Mark chapter 8, verse 31. In fact, I'll just go ahead and read it real quickly. And he, Jesus, I'll go to verse 30. And he charged them, or he gave them orders, that they should tell no man of him at that time, in that geographical area. And he began to teach them that the Son of Man must suffer many things and be rejected of the elders. And of the chief priests and the scribes, be killed, and after 3 days, rise again. Now, again, he's emphasizing the fact that he's going to rise from the dead, that death is not going to stop him from the mission that God had sent him to accomplish. Wow, amazing. So the chief priests in the area, he's going to be rejected. Right? It was foretold in the book of Isaiah 53 that the Messiah is going to be, he's going to be rejected of men and a man of sorrows. In fact, Isaiah 53, when you get time, to please read that. Powerful text about prophetic utterance from the mouth of the prophet Isaiah about the Messiah, about his birth, about his death, and about his resurrection. All right there in Isaiah 53. Okay? Also, we just read out of Mark chapter 8, verse 31. Also in Luke chapter 9, verse 22. Okay? We got it right there. Luke 9, 22. In fact, I'll read that one real quickly. Jesus said, the Son of Man must suffer many things and be rejected of the elders, chief priests, and scribes, and be slain and be raised the third day. The word slain means to put to death or to kill. Slain. Okay? So we got that. Now, I also want to read a very powerful text. Very powerful. We're going to go back to Matthew chapter 20 now. We're going to Matthew. Back to Matthew, and we're going to read chapter 20, and I start at verse 17. Woo, thank you, Jesus. This is so powerful. So Matthew chapter 20, okay, verse 17. And Jesus, going up to Jerusalem, took the 12 disciples apart in the way. So he got his disciples, he separated them from the people, and he's going in the road, down the road, and he says to them, behold, when it says in the way, they're on the road going up to Jerusalem. He says, behold, we go up to Jerusalem, and the Son of Man, referring to himself, shall be betrayed unto the chief priests, unto the scribes, and they shall condemn him to death. So he's telling specifically, he's going to go to Jerusalem. He knows exactly what he's going to go through. He said, I'm going to be betrayed. He said, I'm going to be betrayed into the hands of the chief priests, the scribes, and these religious leaders here, so he's referring to. He said, they're going to condemn me to death. They are going to have a trial, and they're going to condemn me to death. Then what he says, and shall deliver him, that deliver himself, to the Gentiles to be mocked. Wait a minute. So they're going to condemn him to death, and then how do you know they're going to deliver him to the Gentiles to mock him, to scourge, and to crucify him, and the third day he shall rise again? This is what Jesus said. Let me read that again, verse 18. This is Matthew chapter 20. Now, mind you, he mentioned years earlier, about a year and something earlier, about his death and about him going to rise. Now he's mentioning it again. He tells his disciples, and he says to them, behold, this is Matthew chapter 20, verse 18, behold, we go up to Jerusalem, and the Son of Man shall be betrayed unto the chief priests and unto the scribes, and they shall condemn him to death and shall deliver him to the Gentiles to mock and to scourge and to crucify him. And the third day he shall rise again. He knew that these religious leaders was going to condemn him to death and that they're going to deliver him over to the Gentiles. And they're going to mock him and they're going to beat him and crucify him. This is exactly what Jesus said. He knew where he's going to die. He knew by what hands. And he's going to be turned over from the Jewish leaders into the Romans. And they're going to mock him. They're going to scourge him. They're going to beat him. They're going to whip him. And then they're going to nail him to a cross and thus crucify him. And the third day he's going to rise from the dead. Now he's foretelling all these things. This is so powerful. All right? So another passage I want to go to. I'm going to go to Matthew chapter 26 now, okay? Matthew chapter 26, and let me just read verse 2, all right? Well, I'll start at verse 1. And it came to pass when Jesus had finished all these sayings, he said unto his disciples, you know that after 2 days, the feast of Passover is the feast of the Passover, and the Son of Man is betrayed to be crucified. He said, now again, he mentioned that he's going to be betrayed. Uh-oh. Time has went by so fast. Stay tuned in to the Final Authority, and we will see you immediately after the break. I'll continue out of Matthew chapter 26.
I hope you're encouraged by now, but if not, me and Pastor Key is back. To let you know, this time, it's going to work in your favor.
I know you've been going through, and you don't know what to do. Oh, can I see you're at the end of the road.
reason to be. It's gonna work. My breakthrough is here.
What does gospel mean to you?
Gospel, what it means to me, is freedom, hope, salvation.
This is the Love Radio Network.
All right, sorry about that there. We're back tuned in to the Final Authority. Thank you for staying tuned in. And that song was by Hezekiah Walker, Work in Your Favor. Yes. God is behind the scenes working all things for your good. Yes. All right, so let's get back to Matthew chapter 26, where we left off at prior to the break. So here again we see Jesus now is close to the feast of the Passover. And so I'm going to start back at verse 1, and it came to pass when Jesus had finished all these sayings, he said unto his disciples, you know, 2 days is the feast of the Passover, and the Son of Man is betrayed to be crucified. Again, we read earlier where he said he's going to be crucified. Here he's saying again. What's so unique about this, He knew exactly what he was going to go through. He knew that he was going to be betrayed. He knew that he was going to be turned over to the religious Jewish leaders. He knew that they were going to take him over to turn him over to the Romans. He knew he was going to be mocked and scourged and beat and nailed to the cross and thus crucified. But he also mentioned, on the third day, I'm going to rise from the dead. Wow, powerful. So then let's go to verse 31 real quickly. Same chapter, Matthew 26. Jesus said unto them, all you shall be offended, speaking to his disciples, because of me this night. Now it's that night. That time has come now. It's in the evening now. And it is written, so he's quoting what's written, I will smite, and the sheep of the flock shall be scattered abroad. Man, the shepherd, Christ is the shepherd. He's the good shepherd of the sheep. Now he's going to be smitten. He's going to be struck. He's going to be stricken, smitten of God for our sins, according to Isaiah. So he says, the shepherd, he's going to be smitten. I will smite the shepherd, and the sheep of the flock shall be scattered abroad. Well, the disciples, when Christ received that, once he betrayed, man, and judgment came upon Christ, they were scattered abroad. But watch this. Watch what he says. The flock shall be scattered abroad, but after I am risen again, I will go before you into Galilee. He knew it. I'm going to rise again, and I'm going to see you in Galilee. Wow, amazing. This is so amazing. Galilee wasn't well thought of, but were considered uneducated people. Jesus loved to be around these people to minister to the people that received him and welcomed him. He went into the hood. He went to the project, and he ministered to people. Anyway, that's just something I threw in real quickly. So we see that again. He mentioned that he's going to rise again from the dead. Then we go over to Matthew 27. Wow. So when you have time, I would encourage you to read Matthew 27, and you're going to see specifically now after Christ was crucified, he dies on the cross. Wow, amazing. He rises from the dead just as he has said. Now, what I want to do, I'm going to kind of fast forward. Well, in fact, let me go over this. So Jesus had mentioned, as I just read to you, that he said, I'm going to rise again. He said, I'm going to go before you into Galilee. Well, then let's read it over in Matthew chapter 28 real quick. I'll just stop real quick. Let me take my time and go over Matthew 28. In the end of the Sabbath, as it began to dawn toward the first day of the week, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary had came to the sepulchre. And behold, there was a great earthquake, for an angel of the Lord descended from heaven and came and rolled back the stone from the door. There was a big old stone that was on the mouth of the tomb where Jesus was buried. And so the women had these spices and went to anoint his body, but they knew they couldn't get in. But they had not known that he had risen from the dead. But they had rolled back the stone from the door, and they sat upon the stone. And that angel's countenance was like lightning in raiment, white as snow. So it was just such a glorious appearance. So the angel rolled back the stone, and that angel sat upon that stone. Just start chilling. All right? And for fear of the angel, the guards did shake. There was guards guarding it. And they became as dead men. Their life was just like sucked out of them as it was. Like they was like dead men. And they were so fearful they fell back. Angel. And the angel answered and said unto the women, fear not. For I know that you are looking for Jesus, which was crucified. He is not here, for he is risen as he said. Come and see where he was laying. Now go quickly and tell his disciples that he is risen from the dead, and behold, he goeth before you into what? Galilee. So now the angel is saying to the woman what Jesus had always said to them already, before he had even died. So the angel is passing on the same message that they had already heard from Christ. There, you disciples tell them that you shall see him there. No, I have told you. And the women departed quickly from the sepulchre with fear and great joy, and did run to bring his disciples word. And as they, the women, went to tell his disciples, behold, Jesus met them, saying, all hail. It's a salutation of greeting. And they came and held him by his feet and worshiped him. Woo, he rose from the dead. Now they see him. And now he greets them. And they were so excited, they held him at his feet. He rose in physical bodily form. And they began to worship him. And Jesus said unto them, be not afraid. Go tell my brethren that they go into Galilee, and there shall they see me. Wow, he's sticking to what he said he's going to do. Meet him in Galilee. He said that before angel, after he rose from the dead, after Christ rose from the dead, the angel tell the woman that. The woman then go tell the angel go tell the disciples to get news about the resurrection. And then while they're going to go tell the disciples, Jesus appears to them, shows up, and then tells them to go tell my disciples, hey, meet me in Galilee. That's what I'm going to be. He had risen from the dead. Amazing. So now they got this testimony of being actual witnesses of the actual resurrection of Jesus Christ. Think about that. If you was a contemporary witness of Jesus' life and his ministry, and then now you know he got betrayed and saw that he was turned over to the Jewish leaders, and they then condemned him to death. And then he turned over to the Romans, and they crucified him, and now he's dead, he's buried. And 3 days he rises from the dead and appears to you. You got it. Oh, my goodness. You'd be so fully persuaded. There's nothing can stop you from proclaiming the historicity of the actual physical bodily resurrection of Jesus Christ from among the dead. Do you really believe the biblical account? Authority is his word to us that his son has risen from the dead. He is alive forevermore. Man, this is so powerful. The historicity of the actual resurrection of Christ. Now, let me take you over to Acts of the Apostles real quickly. Acts of the Apostles, chapter 1. In Acts of the Apostles, we have Luke writing a document to Theophilus. And he says in verse 1, the former treaties have I made. It's a document he had made that he had written, O Theophilus. So Theophilus must be a high-ranking officer or what have you. The former treaties have I made, O Theophilus, of all that Jesus began both to do and teach. So he's writing to Theophilus, and he's giving a testimony to Theophilus about the life and ministry of Jesus, of all that Jesus began both to do and teach until the day in which he was taken up. After he, through the Holy Spirit, had given commandments unto the apostles whom he had chosen. Wow. To whom the apostles also, he, Jesus, showed and demonstrated himself to be alive after his passion by many infallible proofs, being seen of them 40 days and speaking of the things pertaining to the kingdom of God. Now, here, Luke is writing to Theophilus and sharing with him that I documented the life and the ministry, the sufferings, the crucifixion, the death, the birth, and the resurrection of Christ. That he showed himself alive, what? After his passion. The passion that covers his sufferings, his crucifixion, his shed blood, all that. He showed himself alive. How did he do that? After his passion, that means he rose from the dead. And he said, by many infallible proofs. So he had given a compound of evidence upon evidence that the same person, that same body that was nailed to their cross, that same body that was lifted up on that cross, that died on that cross, that blood was shed from that body and spilled out totally, was taken down from that cross and buried. That same person and that same body rose from the dead, but it was a glorified body. It was resurrected. No longer subject to death. Wow, it was a power. It was a resurrected. This is the power of God manifested in the resurrection. It's nothing to God. He raised his son from the dead. And Christ, after he had risen from the dead, he had showed himself alive by many infallible proofs, by many convincing evidences, upon evidences. All right? Being seen of them, how long? 40 days. So for a period of 40 days, he gave evidence upon evidence upon evidence of his actual resurrection from the dead. There's absolutely, and this totally made a radical significant change in their lives. Because when Jesus Christ, at the time when Christ was betrayed and the Roman guards came to take Jesus into custody, and then he was sent back to the chief priests and the elders. They condemned him, then back to the Romans. They went on and ultimately mocked him and scourged him and crucified him. Well, when they came to arrest Christ while he was in the Garden of Gethsemane, the disciples had fled. They took off in fear of their lives. So there was a fear that night, and they left. Here, Jesus then appears back to them all and restored all of them, and he showed himself alive at this passion. And then after Christ has risen from the dead, let me show you the power of the resurrection of Christ, the power and the reality of the historical, bodily, physical resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. And the reason why I say physical, bodily, because I'm going to show you, I may not be have time to do it today, but in Luke chapter 24, Jesus, after he rose from the dead, the disciples, they weren't convinced. They thought they saw a spirit. And Jesus said to them, "Handle me and see, for a spirit does not have flesh and bones as you see me have." He had flesh and bones. He didn't have no blood because all the blood was spilled out for you. All his blood was poured. He poured his whole life for you. Went through the most excruciating, violent death. And what made the sufferings and the crucifixion of Christ so far more unique than anyone who ever suffered any form of death was the fact that all of the sin of every human person, past, present, and future, was placed upon Christ at one and the same time. He bore the weight of all the world's sins up on himself on that cross. And then he was judged by the Father and struck by the Father of God's wrath. Your sins was judged upon Christ. All I can shout is, thank you, Jesus. So, now we look at the fact that he rises from the dead. He rises from the dead, and he gives demonstrable evidences. He appeared to them. After he appeared to them for a period of 40 days and gave them so much evidence for the resurrection, listen, they were so bold. They were so bold in their proclamation of the resurrection of Christ, even to the men that were yelled out to Christ's trial, crucify him. In fact, prior to Christ appearing to them, they was locked up in the room. We'll go over that next week. They was locked up in a room for fear of the Jews. Man, when Jesus appeared to them and then was with them for 40 days, those same men, they stood before those men in boldness proclaiming the resurrection of Jesus Christ and that he is the Son of the living God. He has risen from the dead, and we are witnesses. They couldn't deny it. So now they're willing to face death, and guess what? They were persecuted, thrown in prison, beat, and every one of them became martyrs for their proclamation of Jesus as Son of God and belief in proclamation of his resurrection, with the exception of the Apostle John. Man, so it's something about the reality of the resurrection. And see, the thing about it is you have skeptics and critics and those who reject the biblical account, they try to find a way to discredit the Bible, thus trying to discredit the resurrection. It doesn't make no difference. All of your attempts is futile. It is a historical fact of the historicity of the actual life of Jesus of Nazareth. And it was known all over the world. And this is why they were using words like letters like B.C. and A.D. They got rid of that before Christ and after Christ or after the death or in the year of the Lord. So you had that. That's history. The impact that he had on the whole world, Jesus, was more than just the teacher, more than just the prophet, more than just as some say, he's a revolutionist. Well, he is the unique Son of God who came down from heaven, God in human form. He was crucified. He did die, and he died for your sins, whether you believe it or not. And he shed all of his blood for the forgiveness of your sins and to redeem you. He was buried and he rose again from among the dead, hath given overwhelming evidences of his bodily resurrection from among the dead. Jesus the Christ is now alive right now in a resurrected, glorified body, and he's in heaven. And he's going to come back. It's the biblical account. So we stick to the biblical authority and revelation of Scripture. All right, now. So he said he showed himself alive. Acts of the Apostles, chapter 1, verse 3. To whom also he showed himself alive after his passion by many infallible proof. Let me take you real quickly to St. John chapter 20. Let me take you back to St. John chapter 20 to show you something about, wow, this is so powerful. I love this text right here. Now, I'm going to write now for the sake of time. We're at the reach of preceding verses. Another time, because I'm going to do a four-part series dealing with the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Because this would make Jesus so unique is that he came down from heaven, and he's the one that the Father God sent, the one and only one the Father God sent to die for your sins, the only one that was the unique Son of God, who had the very divine same nature as his Father, who was one with the Father in nature and in essence. And so here, I'm going to read this verse here in just a moment, verse 30. Reading the preceding verses, Jesus had just given some evidences again of his physical resurrection. And in verse 30 it says, and many other signs truly did Jesus in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book. So we read St. John chapter here, 20. John said, listen, Jesus had produced so much signs that was so clear, overwhelming, truly did Jesus in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in the book. John didn't even write everything down. What were the signs? When we read the preceding verses, he had just gave demonstrable evidences to Thomas. And the other disciples were eyewitnesses, because the first time that Jesus had appeared to the disciples, Thomas was not there with them. We've seen the Lord. He has risen. He appeared to us. And Thomas said, I'm not going to believe unless I can put my finger in his nail print. God knows he was crucified, and thrust my hand in his side. God knows his side was pierced, and all his blood came out. So I'm not going to believe unless I can see the physical evidence to substantiate what you're telling me. And so they're all in a room together, and all of a sudden Jesus appeared in the middle of them and said, peace be unto you. Woo, thank you, Jesus. And so now we can look at verse 26. St. John chapter 20, verse 26. Let me go back. And after 8 days, again, his disciples were within. They was within a room. And Thomas was with them. So Thomas was with them this time. Jesus came, and the doors being shut, and stood in the midst and said, peace be unto you. The doors were shut, and Jesus appeared in the middle. Just appeared in the midst of them. And this is what Jesus said to Thomas. Reach hither your finger. Reach your finger here, Thomas, and behold my hand. Examine my hand. Why? He still had the marks of the crucifixion in his hand. Reach hither your hand and thrust your hand into my side. He still had the hole in the side where it's pierced. Don't be faithless, but believe me. And Thomas said, he answered and said, my Lord, my God, or in the Greek, the Lord of me, the God of me, acknowledging Jesus as God. Jesus said unto him, Thomas, because you have seen me, you believe. Blessed are they that have not seen and yet believe. Woo! Yes, well, how are they going to believe? They're going to hear it. They're going to hear about the proclamation of the resurrection of Christ. And you are blessed because you believe the testimony of apostles about the resurrection. And the message is now carried on even to this time. So, blessed are they that have not seen and yet believe. And many other signs truly did Jesus. He done so much more to demonstrate his resurrection for a period of 40 days. And we read that in Acts of the Apostles. That's why I go back here. So when he says, and with many other signs, well, the way Luke words it in Acts of the Apostles, to whom also he showed himself alive by many infallible proofs. Well, here, John says, with many other signs. All these signs, all these evidence over and over and over to show he has risen from the dead. Do you believe? Do you really believe that Jesus was? Yes, I believe it, and it impacts my life. It's not just a biblical doctrine, which it is, but it is a doctrine to substantiate that Jesus is the Son of God. Oh, my goodness. Lord, we got some. I'm out of time now. I hear the music. I wasn't paying attention to my notification. But nevertheless, we'll continue on next week. Thank you for tuning in to the Final Authority. Monday, we'll do part two on do you really believe Jesus rose from the dead? I do. I believe it. I believe the word of God. Stick to the final authority. That's God's word. Jesus has risen from the dead, and he's alive, and he wants to be Lord, Savior, and Redeemer of your life. God bless you. See you next week.
I hope you're encouraged by now, but if not, me and Pastor Key is back to let you know this time it's going to work in your favor.
I know.
You've been going through,
and you don't know
what to do.
Oh, can I see
you
at the end of the road?
You're listening to the Love Radio Network worldwide. LoveRadioNetwork.com. Educational, inspirational, trending topics, and the hottest hits. With award-winning talk show host and personality. And you made us number one. Thank you. Love Radio Network, building a network of love.